This morning, as I share my experience leading a Unitarian service learning trip to Haiti, we'll be playing a slideshow of photos in the background to give you a visual sense of what the week and what the work was like. Haiti is the world's first black republic, formed by the uprising of slaves against their French masters and one of the most powerful armies in the world. Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a history lesson this morning, but this piece of history is particularly important. Now, 210 years after gaining their independence, Haiti is sometimes referred to as a republic of NGOs or non-governmental organizations. Other words and phrases that come to mind are the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, immense deforestation, government corruption, and of course, all of the destruction that occurred as a result of the massive earthquake that hit the island over 4 years ago. While there is truth to each of these elements of Haiti's current reality, I would like to tell you a different story today. I want to share a story of a self-sufficient Haiti, a people who are taking their destiny into their own hands, to change the course of their history as their ancestors did over two centuries ago when they created a nation and gained their independence. So what does a group of Unitarian Universalists from all over the United States have to do with Haiti gaining and taking its destiny into its own hands? Let me start by telling you a little bit about the Unitarian Universalist College of Social Justice, the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, and their approach to service learning experiences and aid in countries like Haiti. The mission of the UU College of Social Justice is to catalyze justice through experiential learning programs that are grounded in UU theology and spiritual practices. One of the basic premises is that an interdependent, multicultural, and pluralistic world must be experienced to be understood. The ultimate goal of these programs is to create transformative experiences and deep learning that participants can bring home to their home communities and translate into local action. The College of Social Justice is the child of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, which is a human rights organization that collaborates with grassroots organizations to advance social justice all over the world. The UUSC partners with local organizations and groups that are already serving their communities, as opposed to the top-down approach that's used by many foreign aid organizations. These eye-to-eye partnerships honor our principle of justice, equity, and compassion in human relations by listening to and supporting the community's vision as they define it. In Haiti, the partner organization we work with is the Papaye Peasant Movement, and I'll tell you about them in just a little bit. The second night that we were in Port-au-Prince, one of the staff members at the hotel we were staying at for just the first few days asked me and my co-leader what our vision for Haiti was. Was it to help the children or to provide medical care to the sick and wounded? I tried to explain in my broken Creole that we were there to support Haiti's vision for itself. We were not seeking to impose a separate North American vision for the country, but rather to work in solidarity with our partners to achieve the vision that they've designed. I'm sure the language barrier was partially responsible for some confusion, but I also think that the eye-to-eye partnership model is really a foreign concept. It's unfamiliar, if not a foreign concept, in Haiti. Between 60 to 70% of Haiti's operating budget comes from foreign aid. And as many as 10 to 20,000 NGOs, the foreign NGOs, operate in Haiti. These organizations received 99% of all of the aid, their post-earthquake relief aid that was donated after the earthquake in 2010. And Haiti's government, its companies, its organizations, were essentially excluded from decision-making on how to reconstruct their own country. But I said I was going to tell a different story, right? I'd like to start this story by sharing a quote about the difference in helping, fixing, and serving that we use to guide us during our week in Haiti. Rachel Naomi Remen writes, "Service is not the same as helping. Helping is based on inequality. It's not a relationship between equals. When you help, you use your own strength to help someone with less strength. It's a one-up, one-down relationship, and people feel this inequality. When we help, we may inadvertently take away more than we give, diminishing the person's sense of self-worth and self-esteem. Serving is also different from fixing. We fix broken pipes. We don't fix people. When I set about fixing another person, it's because I see them as broken. Fixing is a form of judgment that separates us from one another. It creates distance. So fundamentally, helping, fixing, and serving are ways of seeing life. When you help, you see life as weak. When you fix, you see life as broken. And when you serve, you see life as whole. When we serve in this way, we understand that this person's suffering is also my suffering. Their joy is also my joy. We may help or fix many things in our lives, but when we serve, we are always in the service of wholeness." The trip I co-led as part of the College of Social Justice was a service learning journey to work with the Papai Peasant Movement in Haiti's Central Plateau. The Papai Peasant Movement, or MPP, has been educating and organizing peasants to improve their living conditions for over 40 years. Peasant farmers make up the majority social class in Haiti, which remains a predominantly agrarian society. MPP's vision is to create an Haiti Grand Moon, which translates in English to a self-sufficient Haiti. With over 50,000 members located throughout the country, MPP is working towards this vision through economic, social, cultural, and political activities. Their ultimate goal is to achieve food sovereignty, which is defined as the right to healthy and culturally appropriate food produced through ecologically sound and sustainable methods, as well as their right to define their own food and agriculture systems. Together, they're resisting land grabs from foreign companies like Canadian mining firms and the influence of agribusinesses like Monsanto. They're pushing for agrarian reforms so that peasants can own their own land. They have a production facility so that members can transform what they grow into products such as jams, honey, peanut butter, and even rum. They're fighting for basic services such as water, education, and healthcare throughout Haiti. They're working towards achieving gender equality by conducting trainings on domestic violence and women's rights. And the list goes on. MPP's activities are varied, but they all work to build solidarity among the peasant population so they can take their destiny into their own hands. One of the more recent MPP projects is the creation of eco-villages for people who lost their homes and were displaced as a result of the 2010 earthquake. Port-au-Prince is a city of roughly 3 million people, many of whom relocated from the countryside to find employment in the city, which is a phenomenon that's common throughout the developing world. But after the earthquake, many people relocated to the rural Central Plateau to escape the city's devastation. MPP saw an opportunity to not only assist these people in finding housing and a means of life, but also to work towards decentralizing Haiti's largest city, which lacks the infrastructure and basic services to support its population. With support from the UUSC, MPP has constructed 5 eco-villages and is nearing completion on a 6th. These communities offer shelter as well as land and technical support so that residents can begin again as first-time farmers, growing their own food and providing for their families. I had the pleasure of meeting and working alongside a woman who lives in Eco Village number 2 named Cassandra. When I asked her if she was happy to live there, her whole face lit up, and she said, "It is a blessing from God," with an enormous smile on her face. She, at 5 years younger than me, has experienced more loss than I can possibly imagine. And being a witness to her new beginning and the joy that she so freely shared with us has touched me very deeply. We spent the week working alongside of our partners, bagging mixtures of soil, compost, and sand, into which we planted seeds to grow trees. We sieved sand that was used to make concrete, and we moved rocks that were used in housing construction. But as we quickly realized, our greatest service was bearing witness to and seeking to understand the realities that Haitian peasants face, so that we can be effective advocates and allies for them when we return home. We had rich conversations with the leaders and the members of MPP. We learned one of their liberation songs, which is called Makone Fosnu, which means intertwine our strengths. We taught them one of our songs, which I learned here at Beacon, Building Bridges. We listened deeply to their stories and saw firsthand some of the struggles they face, as difficult, painful, and even heartbreaking as it was. We struggled to understand how, in the words of Susan Sontag, our privileges could be located on the same map as their suffering. There's a quote on the front of your order of service this morning that's credited to Lilla Watson and the Aboriginal activist group of Queensland, Australia. "If you've come here to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you've come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." As both a participant and now a leader, I've seen how transformative these journeys can be. Just being in Haiti is a transformative experience, like Rose mentioned. Some of the most powerful insights I gained from this experience, which are still emerging for me, relate to personal liberation and community. The kindness, hospitality, and care shown by our MPP partners and friends were truly extraordinary and incredibly inspiring. I felt my heart opening up with each interaction we shared, with each connection we created. The confidence, determination, and patience of the people we worked with inspires me to continue to develop my own gifts and share them, not letting my fears and my doubts speak too loudly. Living in community with other UUs and witnessing rural Haitian community structures has made me even more aware of how disconnected our society is and how much I long for true community in my life. Starhawk says, "Community means strength that joins our strength to do the work that needs to be done." Returning home, I'm starting to ask myself big questions. Like, how will I use the stories and the knowledge entrusted to me to be an ally for Haiti back here? How can I use my gifts most effectively in working towards justice at home? How will I move beyond bearing witness? And seeing the power of community in Haiti, how will I cultivate that in order to join my strength with others to do the work that needs to be done? With each question comes more questions, but the seeds have been planted, and I look to this community and to others for the support and encouragement that we need as we all grow.
We haven't come to the last picture yet.
The next one, I think.
Do you want to stop it?
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I want to thank Rebecca for that wonderful, yeah. I want to thank you for the work that you've done as a leader of the UU movement for the College of Social Justice and for bringing this story back home to us and for sharing it so eloquently. Thank you. Now, Rebecca asked us something. I don't know if you heard that at the end. She asked us, her community right now, for support and encouragement to grow. Can we give it to her? Yes? Can I hear you? Yes? Yes, 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 exactly. So take it and keep us informed of what you're doing, because we want to know and we want to support you in your growth as you figure out how you're going to put this experience into the next thing that you do. Rebecca had some really important observations there, and I want to lift up some of them. She's asked herself and us some very important questions. Rebecca has testified to the power of community in a country that has next to nothing. People like the papaya peasant movement in Haiti, who have a vision that they can share and work towards with others, this is powerful. Okay? Really powerful. I know that you know the truth of this, about the power of community, when you know what your vision is. People working together with a shared vision is powerful. This community has a vision. We've been working on it all year, and we're getting close to forming that into the mission, which is how do we live that vision? I really hope that we will include in that mission specific ways that we can bring the power of this community out into the wider community. We have a challenge that all small communities have. We have limited people, we have limited resource, we have limited time, and we have limited energy. But we do have people, and we do have resources, and we do have time, and we do have energy. The question is, how are we going to use it? My dream is to see this community come together to bear witness to the inequities and injustices in our own backyard. There are points of focus galore. The Kinder Morgan pipeline that's going through Burnaby. The coal transfer to China that's happening down here at the Fraser River. Those are just two environmental backyard issues. There's economic disparity and bringing in a minimum wage that people can actually live on. Affordable housing, or the lack thereof. Education. Conversation, awareness of mental illness in our community. The appalling overuse and misuse of drugs on people in crisis. I hope that this next year we will choose to focus our energies together, bear witness, build community, and make a mark on the world that we are living in. And if you have an idea on how we might direct our community's energies to address together an issue of injustice and inequality, please, I invite you to tell me about it. Today, tomorrow, email me, but please share it with me. My hope is that we embrace the kind of radical hospitality that Rebecca experienced in Haiti. We don't need anything more than what we already have and who we already are to open our hearts and welcome people into this community. Welcome them if we know them, and welcome them if we don't know them. Offering a smile to someone is the gift of connectedness, and we say that's part of our vision. It can lift someone out of their isolation and loneliness, and it may be all they need to shift from a place of hopelessness to hope. How powerful is that? Rebecca also mentioned the remarkable kindness of the people that she encountered in Haiti. Kindness. The poorest among us can be extravagantly kind.